All right, everyone, I'm going to do one more quick recording because there are still a few points left and I've caught my breath, so here we go. The idea of resilience versus persistence. Now, before I go any further, I recommend that you pause this recording and take a look at Wordbook or any other dictionary app that you're using and take a look at the definitions of resilience and persistence and then come back. Here's what I'll say about resilience and persistence. They are both necessary characteristics for someone who is in a state of resistance. And I'll say that again. Resilience and persistence are necessary characteristics for someone who is in a state of resistance. The previous recording was all about the concepts of counterintention and being the counter to the counterintention. I won't go into the details of scenarios and possible examples of situations where you are exercising or could be exercising resilience and persistence because I'm sure that everyone can bring up a handful of their own examples in an instant. What I will say is, consider the state of resistance being one of contraction, the state of resistance being one of pushing against the natural state of the universe, which is one of expansion. And in this case, now in our reality, dissolution. We can get into that further if you'd like during your calls. The idea that we are being resistant to the natural state of the universe means that we are pushing against the entirety of the container of this universe whenever we are in a state of resistance. Resistance can also be closely associated with something called resentment. Resentment is very closely tied to the feeling of obligation. When we move out of a state of feeling like we are obliged to do something, that we are responsible for doing something, and instead are doing it willfully out of a hope, an open-hearted state of allowing ourselves to be in service to others, that is when we can begin to dissolve these very tightly compact frequencies of resistance and expand into something called allowance. Allowance is a counter to resistance. Allowance is a counter to the counterintention of resistance. When we allow, we expand, we release, we relax. Even at the point of the physical body, we relax the physical body. When we are in a state of allowance, we are not in a state of fear. It is impossible to be in a state of allowance when you are in a state of scarcity, because scarcity is naturally a contracting state in which you don't believe there is enough for all. Allowance, on the other hand, even eliminates the entirety of the construct of safety, because when we are in a state of being in allowance, there is no belief that there is something safe and unsafe. There is no belief that we could be harmed. Allowance is accessing the infinite nature of us as spirit. Yes, we acknowledge at the same time that we are in a physical body and that we are in a physical space called this universe, but we can still come from a place of infinite expanse. And in that state of allowance, we are the counter to the counter. We are counter to resistance. In a state of resistance, we cannot create. If the point of our being here is to be creator incarnate and create that which is our definition of heaven on earth, we cannot do so if we are in a state of resistance. If there is any part of you that is resistant to fulfilling your work in this life, to fulfilling your sacred contract in this life, you are then pushing up against a very powerful force that is the natural state of this universe, which is one of expansion and dissolution. So when we are in a state of expansion, we are in a state of relaxation in which we allow what? God's will. We allow ourselves to be, capital B, to be in the greatest expression of ourselves in this and every moment. This is a place of power from which to come in every moment, in every decision that you make, remembering that making a decision is the act of cutting off all other options in a state of purposeful precision, ideally in which we are here to be the highest expression of ourselves to serve the greatest good. But there are certain things that can stop us from going into these spaces of higher expression. One of them, and a very, very common one that is proliferating this world right now, although on a very, very subtle level, is something called guilt. Guilt is an entity. Guilt is an entity that is mutated from an original form of an entity that is very unique to you. So that would be a conversation to have where we examine essentially where guilt originates for you. But let's just stick with guilt for a moment. Guilt pathways are extremely subtle, extremely violating pathways in which you are very quickly taken down a path of disempowerment that makes you feel selfish, for example, that you are doing something that is only for yourself and not for others. However, there's a very basic tenet about the construct of life, and that is that life drains our forces, which means that when we are alive in a physical body, in a physical world with limiting constructs such as denseness of matter, we must acknowledge and respect the fact that in this physical universe, we are drained from our energy as we navigate this world, unless we do very specific things in order to maintain and elevate our levels of vitality. This is a very, very big conversation that I won't go into now, but if you're interested in vitality, different aspects of it, and how to nourish your beingness while here through natural sources of vitality, then we can certainly discuss that in your next conversations live. Just make a note and we'll go into this deep dive. It's very important. But the reason why guilt is so detrimental to our life force is that it saps us of our life force. It does the complete opposite, for example, of going out into nature, refueling, reviving, and nourishing our state of being while here. It takes away from us, it depletes us of vital energy, not just any kind of energy expression, but vital energy, the energy that keeps us alive. So, if you have any kind of guilt, I would recommend that you take a look at that, particularly in this beautiful month of October, where our shadow self, or the aspects of ourselves, in other words, that we deeply reject, are coming out full force. And have an honest conversation with yourself about guilt. Have an honest conversation for you about what's coming up when you think about guilt. And if you say absolutely nothing, take another look. There's a lot of opportunity in the area of guilt. The other thing that I would like to mention about this particular month of intensity is the construct of acceleration overload. The energetics of this world are exponentially accelerating in every moment, but let's say in every 24-hour cycle and every 7-day-week cycle, I can very, very clearly experience an acceleration on a collective level at this point, which means that the demands on us to be able to hold steady and stable in unwavering certainty as we navigate this world become all the more important if we are to get through this without entering into states of turbulence or allowing that counterintention to pummel us. The way to avoid acceleration overload is very simple. Exit the mind. Stop thinking. Stop being in linear time. Enter into the timelessness, that space of spirit embodied, and allow yourself to witness divine sequencing rushing through you as you navigate this world with greater and greater clarity, not charged energetically by any events, and instead maintaining that perspective of clarity as you simply be. Capital B. That's all. One other thing that I would recommend, especially in this particular month of intensity, is to invest in yourself. And we talked about this, I believe it was last week, on one of our calls. And the idea of investing in yourself is paramount right now. If you want to be rich, and all the more if you want to be wealthy, why is this important? When I talk about richness and wealth, let's talk on a very rudimentary level about the richness of your access to energy, your wealth of access to energy, where we keep in mind that, or we keep to heart that everything is energy, and the idea that when energy is abundant in our existence, everything is in abundance in our existence, except if there are any blockages to the flow of abundance from specific directions, in which case those are obviously opportunities for us to then address those blockages if that is something that we choose to do by making the decision to cut off all other options. So investing in yourself is an extremely important thing to do if you want more vitality in your life, if you want more stamina in your life, if you want more endurance in your life to be able to be in this world. I'm not necessarily talking about doing an Ironman. I'm not necessarily talking about building a six-figure business. I'm simply saying if you want to have an abundance of energy with which to leverage your opportunity to be in this world right now, invest in yourself. Richness is where we fill our cup to the brim. Wealth is where we allow that richness to overflow. Overflow is key here. When we are wealthy, energetically wealthy, we have an abundance of vitality that we can then invest not only in sustaining our own well-being, but in the act of creation. So consider the following call to action. Every single day, so every 24-hour cycle, invest 3 hours of that day in yourself. And that does not count your normal sleep cycle, but it can count as, let's say, additional naps throughout the day. It can count as meditative practices, as exercise, as reading something that you would never have allowed yourself to read because it was gluttonous or selfish. It can include making a meal for yourself with ingredients that you normally wouldn't have felt you deserved to purchase for yourself in the store because they're too fancy. It can include whatever you want it to include, but please know that killing time by watching Netflix or some other streaming service in order to relax and unplug does not count as investing in yourself. That falls more under the category of allowing yourself to be trained in hypnotic frequencies and mind-numbing, autopilot-inducing states in which you are very malleable to that thing called counterintention. So please be mindless when you choose these things. Come from heart, come from spirit, come from your knowingness. Ask your body, tap into your body. What does your body need right now? And give in that space. Maybe it even means going and having a bath, buying Epsom salts, and soaking in mineral water and doing things that are specifically calibrated to improve the state of your well-being. Invest in yourself for 3 hours a day. It can also mean starting to reorganize your finances, making space in your home through the clearing of closets, taking a look at what you've no longer been using for years on end and still maintain as one of your items of ownership. Look at the attachments you have in your life. Make a list. Choose which one is perhaps the most disadvantageous and now decide to release it. Lots of things you can do to invest in yourself. But please take this consideration seriously. Because if we are to elevate as a collective, it takes every single one of us to make these types of decisions for ourselves and make them a daily practice in order to contribute to the betterment of humanity. I'm not even saying the evolution of humanity, just the betterment of, because we are not in the best of states as a collective at the moment. And anyone who can choose to spend 3 hours a day investing in themselves is contributing to a much greater purpose than perhaps you realize. But it is greatly appreciated on levels that none of us can even comprehend. And I will leave off with I feel like when I say it, it's a controversial thing. Maybe you're not going to experience it as a controversial statement. So let's see where this goes. From what I've been observing over the last 2 to 3 months, I would say that the greatest human affliction in the current times is something called spiritual inertia. I'll say that again. The greatest human affliction in current times that I observe is this thing called spiritual inertia. Inertia being a disposition to be the effect of things. In spiritual inertia, it is a state in which, for example, we will allow things to simply be, and if they work out, they work out, and if they don't work out, they don't work out, but oh well, as long as we allow things. That's not allowance. That can be a state of allowance, but most often that is mutated into abdication of responsibility, of our ability to be cause in that moment, of our ability to make an impact, to wield our power, to access our power, much less wield it. And we go down a very interesting path when we observe what it means to be the cause of our existence here, spiritual beings having a human experience. So the final call to action I offer you in this recording is the following. Take a look at the concept of spiritual inertia. Take a look at what it means to be the cause of your reality, to be creator incarnate. How much of your life are you living in a state of inertia? How much of your life are you living from the human state of mind of autopilot? And how much are you willing to choose to relinquish from the human experience so that you can be cause over your reality, so that you can create the reality that you know you are here to bring forth, birth into form, into this world, not only for you, not only for future generations, but for the planet as well. How much of you is operating from a place of spiritual inertia?